services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast episode 233. And, oh dear, I'm Adam, and I haven't got any quotes. Hang on, I'll do the top one. Move. She hasn't got one either. It's Debbie Melrose.
Have you ever seen a man flogged to death?
Here's Isabella Pearson.
Power.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan. And Mary Lang's skiving off this week because she can't be bothered.
Bless her.
It's not.
She has to go into work.
All right, this week we have biscuits, we have tea, TARDIS teapots to be precise, 8-year-old kids, and smelly dogs.
Hey, she is.
And a song.
And quiet Kirby's for some reason. Where's he gone all quiet?
I don't know, I'm turning them up. There we go.
No, that one.
Gone all quiet.
And you won't. That won't work.
All right, sorry.
It must be connected to an Apple product for that to work. And yes, this week we're going
to sing.
Pardon?
And a song to sing.
That's later. This week we are enlightened to be watching Enlightenment. Mm-hmm. I only just managed to get it watched in time, so Debbie's doing the cruise this week. So, right. Episode one begins eventually when the computer decides to kick in with a
title sequence.
This is the main title sequence, yeah. I can remember, and I know I've said that before.
It also starts with a game of chess.
Which means I was seeing that I was expecting the Seventh Doctor.
Well, you sound rather strange, Kirby. But
when I saw that, I was expecting the Seventh Doctor because there's always chess in a lot of...
Yes.
Particularly the last season.
Ah, of course, yes.
And yes, season.
Yes.
It's interesting.
Reese season.
It's quite interesting low lighting in this particular scene, which I quite like.
Well, they did it for atmosphere, but they're, all besides the fact that they put the walls up backwards and the roundels are sticking out instead of sticking in.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good optical
just
effect.
Eating a niche biscuit.
Sounds yeah. Very nice.
I also noticed that the Doctor needs to have his hair brushed a bit, so it's sort of fluffy, isn't it?
It's awfully long.
And fluffy.
Is that, this almost looks like the longest the Doctor's hair, other than the Eighth Doctor, the longest the Doctor's hair's been.
Yeah, I suppose it is. I do like his little sort of sideburn things. I quite like that when he had it. I think it was only for this particular series he had the funny sideburns. Anyway, so...
I still can't get over the wicker furniture in the TARDIS.
You're not?
No, I still can't get over it. No. I know it was the thing back then, but... Phew.
The White Guardian sort of semi appears. I don't know why he's having trouble.
Power.
I thought he was powerful.
That must be the reason there's wicker furniture, because he brought the wicker furniture along in Ribos Operation.
Yes, I know. I was going to mention that. But I thought I'd leave you to it. Anyway, smoke starts coming out of the TARDIS console, and then eventually Turlo. Because the Black Guardian comes and smells a little bit, but Turlo turns the power on, which upsets the Doctor. If you ever disobey me again,
he was trying to save their lives. He was coming from a right sort of angle, but you know, it's a lesson in listen to what the Doctor says.
Well, I've got a bauble in my mouth.
No, right, goodness me, the hazards of biscuits and podcasting.
What is that noise?
Isabella making silly noises. Have they turned the roundels back round the right way now?
No, they're still the wrong way
around. No, they're still the wrong way.
Look, they're still poking out.
Yeah, so they are.
Yeah.
That's a bit silly, right? So then this is the old console as well.
Now, I'm assuming that you are looking at the original broadcast version, not the second disc.
Yeah, I am watching now and did watch the original broadcast version simply because I couldn't really get into the... Do you mind?
Same thing with me. I couldn't really get into the redone version.
Isabella watched the redone version. Well, I presume she did. Well, when I went in there, she was actually playing on her iPod while it was on. How can you accidentally watch something on your iPod while Doctor Who's on?
I wasn't watching.
Wasn't watching what?
I wasn't watching anything.
You were. Anyway, so they land on appears to be an Edwardian sort of ship, yacht or whatever.
I like the squeaking rat.
I had this impression that several times during this, I had this curse of the bad plot element coming along, although it was much better than that story.
Yeah. So Tegan's told to stay behind, but this sort of hand appears on the monitor screen, and then a face appears on the monitor screen. And then,
now,
hang on, let me finish. And then the White Guardian has a little bit of a chat with Tegan.
And
yes, go on.
The
console. Yeah, yeah.
Master. Yes. The idea behind that was that the author, what was her name, Barbara Clegg, had the impression that the TARDIS was, the console screen, was using the light on the top of the police box as a scanner. And so Mariner is climbing up the outside of the police box. And then when he falls, he's fallen off of it.
Yeah.
No, I love that.
I did get that impression that that was what they were trying to imply.
I didn't the first time around.
Okay, sorry, I was just gulping down.
The way the hands were coming up.
So, yeah, so Tegan therefore escapes the TARDIS and has a little bit of a poke round. The Doctor, meanwhile, ends up with a group of sailors.
At first, I thought Mariner was pretty creepy, but then
he was creepy really all the way
then
through.
Then he got a bit obsessive, didn't he?
Yeah, bless still him. Creepy. Creepy in a different way.
Fred really liked him.
Oh,
he's a good character, but he's a bit creepy and sort of cringy towards Tegan.
Yes,
but yes. Talking of the Doctor, he ended up with a group of sailors who. When he said he's called the Doctor, and they all got excited, and then he realised that...
Yeah, the Doctor used to be the chef. Yeah.
So obviously we know who cooks on the TARDIS now. that's right. So Mariner sort of takes an immediate shine to Tegan. Basically, at this stage, we don't know he can read her mind, but it's her mind, which is quite nice in some ways, her mind that he finds so appealing, which is quite ironic.
It's sparkly.
Yeah. A bit like Isabella's. Never mind. So the sailors have been trapped down in this little holding. What do they call it? Is it the hold? Not the hold,
Master.
Is it? It's
like, oh, Master.
Grief. Yes.
Master. The newspaper has a little bit of a problem. I'm surprised that they're so good at the research. The newspaper is dated September 7th, 1901. But the first British submarine was launched a month later, on October 2nd.
Sorry.
Oh. No, sorry, I was just tipping out tea and then realising there was only enough for me.
Well, go make some more.
Can't, I've got two.
Doesn't every British house have a tap that just opens up with tea?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, pardon me.
The other tap has cream, yeah. It's so British.
Anyway, the Doctor finds Tegan. He's a bit cross with her that she sort of disobeyed him initially. He's a bit grumpy in this.
He is quite grumpy throughout. I wondered if he was actually really secretly seasick but didn't want to say anything.
Then Linda Barron's husband appears. That's Keith. He's the captain. He's a bit grumpy too, actually.
They're not really... Are they really?
What?
No, their last name is spelled... differently.
That's right. He was just
you're just okay.
Yeah, I'm just seeing if I could get you to look on Wikipedia. Master. Yes.
Originally, that was the captain was going to be Peter Salas, Wallace from Wallace and Gromit, but because of industrial action, they had to delay filming, and he was not available, so they recast.
Yeah, it was the electricians.
But I would thought that he would have been a bit odd playing that sort of character. But
apparently everyone thought that he was going to be really great. And Peter Davison even says in the making of documentary that he was really looking forward to it. He was going, he was kind of in awe. Although apparently when Peter Salas got there, he was looking around for a chair to sit in. His contracts apparently say that he does all of his acting sitting down.
He didn't in Only Fools and Horses. Last of the Summer Wine, he didn't do a lot of sitting down, did he?
Well, I haven't seen it, so I don't
sit
know.
In the bath.
What, in Last of the Summer Wine?
Don't they erase the bath down the hill?
Yeah, but that's only one scene.
I know.
Anyway,
I'm just joining it.
I'm looking at the ship rocking action, sort of acting, and the wine, the glass of wine falling over, and only sort of slightly toppled over. Yet it smashed the smithereens. Mm. I thought that was a bit weird.
I was worried about that at first. But
yeah, what's the brick doing on the table?
There's a brick on the table, yeah.
They betting with it.
Meanwhile, the
glass is a standard sugar glass.
The doctor passes over his glass of wine to the guys who broke, the officers who broke. He's not touched his, yeah.
No, there's another indication that this incarnation doesn't drink wine.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I was under the impression... Excuse me.
Is it a brick or just a pot?
I'm listening.
I was under the impression that he realized that he shouldn't just drink something that he was offered.
Have been that stuff that the sailors, the rum that the sailors have been drinking.
Yeah.
The grog.
So the sailors run up to the top deck after having their... Oh, no, this is to get their quantity of rum.
Yes, yeah, because they use the same stairs time and again, and I was a bit confused as to what level they were actually running onto at that point, because they all go up the same stairs afterwards in their spacesuits.
For a racing yacht, it seemed pretty big.
Yeah.
And then from the outside, it looks a lot smaller when you're looking at the model.
Yeah.
It's only a model.
The doctor realises that it's a star map, solar system map, in fact.
I do like the idea of using the planets as boys. That's brilliant.
And then the electronic... Well, hang on.
Master.
What?
Yep.
What?
During the dinner scene, you missed. Well, Braveheart. Braveheart.
Oh, yes, yeah, but that does get set quite a lot.
I'm not as familiar with Fifth Doctor stories, so before the... I wasn't really aware that the doctor had that as a catchphrase until maybe a year ago when it came up in.
Well, it's the fourth doctor said it first.
Mm.
In
true,
Lugopolis.
But anyway. It's whatever.
Yeah, so the big cliffhanger was the fact that it was obviously a spaceship rather than a
electronics.
Ship.
Yeah. Well.
I think really, I'm looking at the exteriors. I didn't think they did too bad a job actually with these
different schooners.
Yeah, I thought that's quite good. And why wouldn't an alien species who took a shine to Earth history want to make a spaceship that looked like a?
Why not? If they can, I like the fact they use all the images of ships from the minds of the what do they call us? What do they call humans?
Ephemerals.
That's it. Yeah.
And I mean, if you think about it. People make cars to look like spaceships, and the Titanic was a spaceship, wasn't it? Sorry, are we boring you?
No.
Yeah, right. Tegan starts feeling a bit ill. And
got space sick.
Yeah, so gets followed into her bedroom by Mariner, who gives her a drink that's been,
Mickey Finned.
Yeah. There's something slightly dodgy about that.
Yes.
Fortunately, he does leave her in the room on her own. Yeah. Especially when he swings her legs over onto the bed. Oh, what are you up to there? But I think she says something on the lines, what a wonderful drink, or something like that, isn't it? And then Turlo, who has a tendency of finding himself with pretty young girls in beds, doesn't he? I think. Yes.
Master.
Yes.
They deliberately brought in Dolores Whiteman, or whatever her name was, Aunt Vanessa, to have that picture taken. They spent a couple hours with her, with professional photographer that isn't from her publicity photograph or her casting photograph. They went and hired her to get that picture done just for this production.
Yeah, that's good, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, that was quite interesting. The fact they had all these little trimmings in the room.
I like the fact she says it's like her room on the TARDIS.
Yeah.
So you get sort of a little insight into how she's decked out her quarters.
Didn't we see her quarters several times?
I can't remember.
Can't
probably.
Remember.
And if you look on the coat rack, you can see the black orchid. Costume.
Yeah, but we also see a uniform and a hat and a bear stewardess hat and stuff like that.
Yes.
Which is good. Probably the last time we do see it, actually. Then we see the little the spaceships that the sailors wear with the quite sort of helmets that look a little bit like bird heads, don't they? But this chap here...
I actually like those.
No, they're
like
good, yeah. No. They're very original. This chap here, he'd been in Doctor Who from right down to the Pertwee years, that bloke.
Oh, which one?
Well, if you go to 7 minutes and six into episode two, the bloke wearing the red helmet, he was in a previous scene, non-speaking part, but he used to be a stuntman, but he'd been a regular extra in Doctor Who all the way through since the third Doctor. But I don't know who he is. So moving on. So what's going on here?
I'll see if I can figure out who he is.
The ship blows up.
Yeah.
Is that right? Am I getting the
yeah,
right?
You're getting a little ahead, I think. Am I? They're rounding Venus to...
Oh, they're rounding Venus, yeah. Okay. But there's a point in which the ship blows up, isn't there?
And then Master?
Yes.
They have an interesting continuity issue there because they're saying they're rounding Venus, but they had shown Venus earlier from a distance, but the planet that they go around looks more like Mars.
Pedant. Right.
No, it does.
And just eating a custard cream.
It's a completely different color from the planet that they point out was Venus.
Okay. Right. There's a lot of them. Oh, yeah, that's right. Then Turlo finds his little crystal and tries to speak to the Black Guardian.
I thought that was his tap from his...
Yeah, it's his tap.
That's one of the sort of times when he used to really irritate me with these sort of... when he was doing this slight madness thing, you know. He twitches a lot, after this episode, Turlo's... I haven't any problem with Turlo as a character.
There aren't that many more episodes with him, are there?
There's a few. There's a couple, about a series and a half, didn't he, really?
Are we boring someone?
I think so.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's right. And then the Black Guardian grabs him by the throat and leaves a mark. He leaves a mark because Tiga notices the mark later on. What's the matter, Isabella?
It's what I was trying to say.
Oh, right. She was doing the strangling.
Can you remember any of these bits, considering you were supposed to be watching it? Right, so this drink that the sailor's been given is to sort of make them forget the fact that they're on a spaceship, basically.
Yeah. And he works out about the TARDIS as well. Stryker works out that the TARDIS is a...
Yeah, because Tegan says, can we go back to the TARDIS, please?
And because he's all stressed
out. The Doctor says, okay then, of course the TARDIS is not there.
I like where it's hidden.
In his mind. Right. So.
I didn't realise that there were still that many more stories. I haven't seen...
You're not paying attention, are you?
I haven't seen most of...
how many more?
Season 20. Season 21. How many of these have I seen? I've seen half of season 21. I've not seen Warriors of the Deep. I've not seen The Awakening. I haven't seen Frontios.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. That's a great still frame I've just done there, isn't it?
Yeah.
But obviously the listeners can't see that. But so the Doctor gets suited up in one of these little space suit thingies. Turlo has gone a bit...
What was the whole point of the space suit
if they could breathe?
Yeah, I thought that at the time.
What would freak out sailors more? Putting on a space suit, presuming that they can't breathe, or just sending them up as they are?
But maybe if they're going up the masts, it doesn't extend that far, I don't know. But anyway,
that was the reason. But
not really a need for the Doctor to wear one because he wasn't going up the masts.
I quite like the way Mariner forces Tegan to go up on deck. You will come up on deck, you'll like it. All right then.
They go up there and Turlo sort of decides he's not going to conform to the Black Guardian. I don't like the fact he's got his eyebrows brushed upwards as well. That's quite irritating. And he goes a bit mad and jumps overboard because he wants to be rid of the Black Guardian. He's not prepared to kill the Doctor.
And then you've got to mention what happens then in real life.
Go on, then.
His wires broke that were holding him up, the flying wires, and he fell probably 10, 12 feet and hurt himself. And for a lot of the scenes, there are scenes that, like the TARDIS scenes, were filmed after everything else. And he's in a lot of pain, but he's really holding it in.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Did you know that, Debbie?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, you know that now. See, they could have had that as a question in the quiz.
Could have done. Yeah.
And it was also strange because, like in the documentary, they call those flying wires Kirby wires.
Yes.
Oh yeah, there we are. Injured while filming the scene of Turlough throwing himself overboard when the Kirby wire broke. Yep.
Excellent. Well, there you go. Yeah, I did think, you know, you said about that, the fact that they who were on the, I did think about that watching the time. Well, what's the point of the suits? They've got the helmets up. Anyway, so then we meet Linda Baron playing right now. I have to say, Linda, I know she can act. I've seen her in Open All Hours, and I've seen
her in that.
Yeah, and I've seen her in that.
This is where my daughter got very, very confused about the come outside character. Yeah. She's
not very good in this.
No,
her laugh is terrible.
I disagree. I liked her in this.
I disagree.
She was proper pantomime, wasn't she?
She wasn't very convincing, I'm afraid. And Lee John, he was one of the first stunt cast.
Lee John.
He was so bad. I mean, you can't see it. Obviously, this is an audio presentation, but the amount of times, if you watch him in a scene when someone else is speaking, he's mouthing their blimmin' words. And you see that a lot on television anyway, but I find it so irritating. It's so distracting. It takes you completely out of the yes.
Yep.
How is he stunt casting? I don't understand.
Because he was in a very successful band called Imagination. I'm going to probably dub
over. Okay. I did not know that.
Could it be that? In all its confusion.
Made the dog jump.
Could it be that? It's just an illusion.
It's all right, man.
Yeah, anyway. Very, although that's the only song I remember them
doing.
It is.
It's all right, doggies.
It was at the time Imagination were very successful.
Right,
he was stunt casted from that band. He wasn't even probably an actor. I mean, you could probably tell that. But he wasn't very good either. But I got a.
Yeah, he.
Too many biscuits. Eating biscuits and tea.
He was. They interviewed him in the making of documentary, and he's bald now. And he was making comments about his hair.
I did like him as a performer, but not as an actor. Certainly not. Anyway, Turlough has been tied up. Why was he being tied up?
Well, she's a pirate.
All right, but then she let him go. And then Tegan gets stressed. I don't know what the wig's all about, but she does look rather splendid in her sort of, I love the doctor's reaction.
Yeah.
There you go.
The wig is because it just looks better.
Yeah, but
and
the
how else
thing is,
are you going to get a tiara really into her hair?
No, I know, but. But it did look. She did look lovely. But what got me with this bit, and they talk about the changeover from the fifth to the sixth Doctors. But this is so sixth Doctor, and the fifth Doctor hasn't even been invented yet. Is his reaction? That is the sixth Doctor. Yeah, look and then walk off.
Oh, you're ready. About time.
Yeah. I mean, it's a funny thing. Where he's a bit grumpy in this episode, he is the sixth Doctor throughout this this story, which is yes.
Why are pirates pirates?
Do you know what? That's actually quite a good question.
That's a good question.
I know why they're called buccaneers.
Yeah, at the time, I think it was professional villainy, really, wasn't it?
Does anyone know?
Send your answers
the lifestyle they chose to have at the time. Basically,
does anyone know the answer?
Basically.
Uh-oh, she has a joke.
A chance to be rich by not being
poor. Is it a joke? Because they are.
Yeah.
I thought it was a real decent big question. Why are pirates called pirates? But no, because they are.
Shall we do that joke again? Go on, Isabella.
Why are pirates pirates?
I don't know. Why are pirates pirates?
Because they are.
Right. Anyway. So So. Lee John, sorry, what's his character's name, actually, Lee John? What was his
Mantle.
Mantle takes hold of the steering thingy while Captain...
Master, you did notice that a lot of the Eternals' names were maritime-like names that had been slightly changed. Mariner, Rack instead of Wreck, Mantle instead of Mainsail.
Oh, very good. No, I didn't. I didn't know some of that.
I thought you might have seen that.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just moving the microphone closer
to Debbie. The word pirate is from the Latin and Spanish pirata, or I've probably said that wrong. Originally, the Greek peirites, one who attacks, and peiran, to attempt to or try.
I'm so pleased you told me that.
I needed to know.
So Captain...
She's worse than I am.
Captain Rat goes into this sort of tubey thing. What was the tubey thing called?
The Ion Chamber.
The Ion Chamber. Yeah. But Tolo gets shut outside, and then
he hears the Black Guardian's voice.
That's right.
Yeah.
I thought it was called the Grid Room.
Grid Room.
Either way, a ship blows up, and all the crew take their
grid
hats
room,
off.
Ion Chamber. Yeah.
All the crew take their hats off and sort
yes,
of.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I thought was quite good.
But they're quite blasé about it. Oh well, carry on.
Yeah. And Tegan can't understand that. Obviously, the Eternals, are they called Eternals?
They're Eternals.
They just go back to their planet, and all the humans get killed, basically.
Yeah, the Eternals just move on or something, don't they?
Which is the clue to at the end when you see the two sort of bodies, which was a strange thing that obviously was not human bodies. It was some sort of...
Yeah, because it was just like one of those chalk outlines, isn't it? Yeah, two of those floating through space.
I think that seemed to think at the time, obviously you knew the Doctor wasn't going to get killed, so it made you think it probably was... Eternals.
I want to see the fight inside the grid room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't on the full length version.
I watched the full length version. It wasn't all of a sudden.
What was different? I mean, I can't remember. I only watched it about three quarters way through, and I couldn't get into it, but I didn't think there was that much difference.
No, there wasn't much difference at all. No. Obviously, Turlough was injured, and you know.
didn't they improve the special effects?
They did a bit, but yeah, I thought it was fine as it is.
Yeah, really. I didn't watch that version, but that's what I understand.
Because I watched it one night and then saw Adam yesterday and thought better write some questions, so I watched it again.
I should really watch
Master.
It. Yes,
Master. I love the scene at the party where the Doctor replaces his celery.
Yes, that's
and brilliant. that was an ad lib.
Oh, right. I didn't see that.
Yeah, he holds them
it.
Up. He holds them up, going. Okay, that one looks fresher.
Excellent. I didn't notice that one. Is that in the actual thing or just in the extended version?
No, that's in the original.
Oh, it is in both, okay. So Turo gets into the thing and peers through this eye thing and sees that it's targeting something.
It's open space.
And then...
Aye, Captain.
And then he gets trapped in it and starts to suffocate.
It did remind me quite a bit of when Billy Piper gets... You know, Rose gets caught in the sun... In the room with the sun shield.
That's
yeah.
Calls for help from the Black Guardian initially.
I thought that whole scene was way too long because the air should have just gone.
Yes, no, it went on for a bit too long because he's suffering all the way through the Doctor trying to find him and flipping
it's
the coin.
It's a drama. It wouldn't be very dramatic, would it? Oh, it's gone.
And I love the fact that the Eternals have these giant signs, vacuum shield on.
Yeah, but it's, you know, so the Black Guardian comes up to gloat a little bit because he thinks Turlo's going to die, and then he calls out for the Doctor, who conveniently appears. Yeah, he's lost.
I've got the transcripts here, and a lot of Rack and the Black Guardian have written down
out of the canal.
Yeah, of course, that's the moment in which things dawn on Turlo, really, when the Black Guardian leaves him to die. Meanwhile, that bit at the end
he's
of the episode.
Probably going to collect insurance.
When Rack puts the jewel in Tegan's tiara. Yeah, that was me that time.
Yeah.
I just knocked the microphone table. She does that look to camera and the stupid laugh.
That was the thing that killed her as a character for me,
I'm afraid. Not her fault.
Is she meant to be looking into the gem or something?
She broke the fourth wall.
She's an Eternal. She's an Eternal. I mean, they
look at the camera, do they? Okay.
I thought it was meant to be like from the perspective of the gem and the tiara or something. You know, just that camera shot. But yeah, that's what I got from it. But
yeah, I don't know. I think she was awful. Tegan is sent.
I suppose you didn't like her in the 11th Doctor story. She was in
She was all right in that. She was all right in that.
It was nice to see her in that, wasn't it?
She was great in that. Yeah. In fact, her performance in The Gunfighters was better than the performance in this one, and that's saying something. Right. So, Tegan's got a GoPro in her head, basically, so she's wandering around as a camera. A walking thing for Rack, and also the other thing, it is also a focal point for the thingy, the
eye, yes.
Yeah.
The eye of Sauron. Sorry, wrong genre.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello.
Isabella's being silly.
Okay.
How do you know that's not a very important piece of equipment for me? That.
Oh.
I just asked you. How do you know it's not a very important piece of equipment?
I don't know.
What's going on here? Nothing much.
They're being escorted off.
Oh, yeah, the race is reaching its climax. And they're making people walk the plank, which they had to have. It's a piratey thing. So they have
the
to
other
have
Eternals,
the
isn't it? They're making the other Eternals walk the plank.
Now, yep. The Master,
yep.
There's a sailor at the wheel on Stryker's ship.
Mm-hmm.
Is he an ephemeral or is he another Eternal?
Don't know.
I got impression he was an ephemeral. But just really, really rummed up.
Yeah, I guess so. But because the only reason I think he's an ephemeral was, well, first of all, he didn't say a lot other than I. And he was dressed as a sailor rather than an officer.
I think he was an ephemeral. I think he was an ephemeral, yeah.
Uh-huh. Right, so moving on. That's right, because Turlough's sort of been, he realises that the Black Guardian's sort of been in communication with Rack. This bit confused me a little bit, because I didn't know whether he was genuinely trying to get on Rack's side to get back with the Black Guardian, or he was just sort of...
saving his skin. Yeah. That's all I saw it as. He was still ambiguous about whether or not he would follow through with the Black Guardian.
But... I thought he'd broken away. Would you stop making those silly noises, please?
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm talking to Debbie. that's right. And then we see the full how this machine works, where Rack's head becomes all detached from her
body.
And,
focus.
Yeah. I like it when he shatters the crystal and there's loads of little faces.
A bit like Curse of the Bad Plot. Yeah. I mean, Black Plot.
Curse of the Bad Plot,
It's a similar sort of thing with a thing splintering into millions of pieces.
Although, did you notice that they didn't pick up all the pieces?
No, they didn't,
No, the easier way around that. All they had to do is roll up the carpet and throw the carpet over.
Well, if they had done that, they would have revealed the fact that in order to smash the thing in the first place, Peter Davison couldn't smash it because the carpet was too soft, so they had to put another piece of wood underneath that little carpet that he could smash it against.
Focus.
There you go, right.
Focus.
Yeah, so when he smashes it, it increases the power. The Doctor always makes silly mistakes like that, doesn't he? But he does manage to throw it overboard and the explosion happens in space.
I'm guessing that the whole Curse of the Bad Plot business with the mirror came directly from this.
Okay. Oh, yes. Well, that certainly did, didn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't realise it until watching it this time, that was that was that close to it. There's lots of similarities.
These two times that I watched this for our podcast are the first time I've seen the Enlightenment, so.
Yeah.
There's the bodies floating through space.
Yeah, now that clearly is not human bodies. It's eternal bodies. So.
Fred and I were convinced that the Doctor had somehow
died. Oh, dear.
And we thought it would be a temporary thing, but we did have the impression that that's what was going on.
Marin is very confused about what Tegan's feeling in her head.
Tegan's quite upset.
Sparkle's gone. Well, obviously,
So then the big meeting between the Black and White Guardian, which is interesting in itself because they actually really met in the Key to Time series.
Should I go and get it?
No, you sit down, lovey. You're right.
Well, more than that, the White Guardian in Armageddon Factor was played by Valentine Dial.
Yeah, but only because he was in disguise, wasn't he?
Right, in disguise, but still. Cyril, what's his name, was only in Ribos.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for that.
And such a fashion choice, a bird on the head.
I know, isn't it great?
That should have been a swan, really, rather than whatever. It's
it
a
looks
dove,
like a
it?
Dove, yeah. Yeah.
Very badly crafted dove as well.
So, a dove and a crow, yeah.
So because the Doctor, they got rid of Rack and her and Legion, he was then the captain. He won the race. Enlightenment was offered to him. He didn't want it. So they, for some reason, the White Guardian offers it to Turlough, or part of it.
Well, part of it.
Which was a bit
weird. Well,
it's
the test for Turlough, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. So Turlough is given this big thing. He can have enlightenment for the Doctor. So, which is a bit weird for the White Guardian to offer the Doctor. You know,
it's all about
it sounds
his
like
choice.
A Black
it is
Guardian,
just, yes. I mean,
choice.
You know, I think it's just this is it, this is your chance to prove yourself.
But it was quite a good scene. I did like that, and the fact that he throws it over the Black Guardian. And, but they says that light destroys dark, but it didn't, because...
he'll come back, he'll still be as powerful. Well, he can't, he's dead.
Look at the picture of you guys on Facebook.
Slight delayed reaction there.
Biscuit eaters,
I was watching the video on another screen.
So, basically, the Turlo at the end of the story says, take me home.
Yeah, take me to my planet.
Although he does not name the planet in this one.
No.
No.
Well, in fact, I don't think we hear the name Trion until we finally get to Planet of Fire. Mm. And I'm really, really curious if when the new series goes to whatever that island is that was the Planet of Fire, if it's going to be the same, dealing with the same people and such.
I don't know, Kirby.
Why not?
Where was it filmed?
I don't know.
Oh dear. Right.
Do you know?
I'm looking now.
No, I don't know.
I'm doing it right now.
I don't know.
Right then, so while she's looking that up.
Canary Island, shot on location, Lanzarote.
Lanzarote, right.
We discussed this a few weeks ago, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Anyway, right, so Enlightenment. I must admit, I don't mind it. I just find it a bit difficult to concentrate watching it. Especially when I'm a bit tired, as I am at the moment. I tend to drift, and certainly when trying to, I did try and write questions for it, like I said, but I couldn't find much to write questions about, or sorry, compile questions about. It's okay. I like the concept of it. Some of the characters, I get a bit distracted by some of the bad acting, especially by people who should know better. It's a bit of a sort of topsy-turvy story for me, really. Some of it's really good and some of it's really bad. So, I suppose I like it to a certain degree because it's a Fifth Doctor story and the Fifth Doctor is one of my favourites. So, Isabella, did you actually watch it?
Yeah.
Right then, tell me. This would be interesting. What did you think of it?
Well, I thought it was really good.
What was good about it then?
Well, because it was clever and how... they did like the two men falling down. It was really clever.
Two men falling down?
The special effects.
Yeah, the special effects. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And Isabella's always been interested in people falling down on the podcast.
Yeah. Do you know what he's talking about, Isabella?
No.
No. Well, that was one of your review of a story called... what's the underground one called? The Silurian story. Debbie, help.
I forgot.
No, not you.
Oh. I know.
Hungry Earth.
Yeah,
Hungry Earth.
Yes. Where they kept falling down.
The ground was swallowing
down.
Up Amy, and she was falling in, and the doctor tried to grab her, and Amy disappeared. And when your review was, Amy fell down to the ground.
Yeah.
Actually, no, your actual words were, well... Amy fell down to the ground.
How old was she then?
Well, that was when we'd first started. And
yeah.
That's probably about... The first review episode we did was the Angel one. The Angel story. Not very good with titles when it comes to New Who.
No, I'm not. No.
That's the first one we did. And then, of course, that was about probably episode 3 when Isabella came on and said... That. So how old you would have been? What year was that then? 4 years ago. How old are you now?
Eight.
You can't even remember how old you are.
2010.
Right. No, she's 8 now. But 4 years ago she would have been 4. But that was before your birthday. She would have been 3.
Ooh.
That's great. Break me headphones. Great.
Silly.
So moving back on to what we think of the story, Debbie, what did you think of this one?
Same with you. I found some bits were too long, and I watched it first time and really, really enjoyed it. I was very focused, but last night when I watched it again to get the questions, I found everything was distracting me, especially when Turlo was stuck in the grid room, and it was just... I'd gone from really, really enjoying it to just sort of being a little bit bored of it, and I actually skipped through a bit because I've watched it before, and I don't know if I'd watch it again through choice. And I watched it the first time with my daughter, so I think I was quite excited for her.
You didn't see this back when it was first broadcast?
I must have done. I can remember the ships in space, but I can't remember. Okay. I was five, so I can't remember all of it. I can remember lots of Doctor Who, but predominantly I can remember the Daleks and the Cybers. That's the main things I can remember from back then. But I did definitely watch this one. My dad told me I sat on his knee and watched this one. And my daughter did as well, but then she got utterly confused by Captain Rack being one of her favourite children's programme presenters and didn't understand why she turned into a pirate. So that kept me kind of a lot more interested the first time around. But the second time I'd felt kind of... I found it was just too draggy. It could have been three episodes rather than four. Not up there in my Fifth Doctor stuff viewing. Really.
I do like the way the Fifth Doctor's played in the story, though. I have to say.
I know this came in number 75 out of the top 200. Yes.
It's okay. It's not as...
He's very grumpy. It's not as perky an episode.
It does stand out on its own as a completely original Doctor Who story.
Master.
The bad part. Yes.
Did you see it when it was... do you remember watching it when it was originally broadcast?
I know I saw it because that was my second series as a fully fledged Doctor Who.
Okay, but you don't remember it.
You don't remember. That's the thing, I think, because it doesn't.
I remember it being on. I was just excited by all Doctor Who then. I wasn't tainted by any not liking of anything apart from when Sylvester McCoy became the Doctor. Then I wasn't that keen, but I was so loyal to it that I accepted it. I seemed to enjoy it at the time, but and I probably had it on VHS and would play it over and over again because I didn't have a lot of Doctor Who. So I would just play what Doctor Who's I had, and it would be the stuff I would have recorded, borrowed off, you know, can I borrow your video recorder so I can record Doctor Who? And then I'd record it and watch it and then lend him, give back the video recorder. So yeah, it was that sort of thing, really. But yeah, I can remember. I just remember quite liking it, I think. Yeah, what do you think, Kirby?
I liked it. This first time I saw it was this past week. Even though I was a Doctor Who fan by the time that it was broadcast because of the delay in getting it to PBS over here and the fact that I had moved from Chicago to Kentucky, by the time that the Fifth Doctor was available, I didn't see a lot of Fifth Doctor in the 80s. So, this was the first time I saw it, even though I've had the DVD for a while. I wasn't interested. I mean, the Treasure Planet, type of deal with the sailing ships in space didn't appeal to me. So I never tried to watch it before. But then, I sat down a few nights ago with, Fred and she and I watched it and we both enjoyed it quite a bit. And then we watched it again over the past two evenings and still enjoyed it. And I had no problems with it. I really liked it. There were a few of the odd things with, like I said, the why they have the spacesuits on when they're on deck, and at the silly business of running around the corridors and up the stairs a couple of times in a ship that is much bigger. Oh, it's a TARDIS, I guess. It's bigger on the bigger on the inside.
Yeah,
and I didn't have any problems with the pirates because they weren't really pirates. They were Eternals play acting as pirates.
Okay.
Splendid. So?
Good. Right, let's see what the others think. We've got some feedback.
Mary said, I was looking forward to talking about Enlightenment, which I very much enjoyed.
There we are. That's a very quick review from Mary Lane. She used to be on the show, I'm pretty sure she did. Anyway, yes. Feedback. A lot of it this week. Thank you, everybody.
Well, good afternoon. 20 Megabyte is Andy Lennon here. It's 5:44, and I'm sitting here watching the cricket, and I think Chris Jordan has just got another wicket. I've got the radio, got the TV slightly behind, and yes, that's 8 wickets down in India. Kirby, please wake up, will you? This is important stuff. Anyway, Enlightenment by Barbara Clegg, the third and final of the trilogy of The Guardians. Not the best, that was Mortal and Dead. Not the worst either, that was Terminus. Pretty good story, though, actually. I think it's cleverly done. It's a completely new environment for the Doctor to go in. We hear you find about the Eternals, who we've never come across before, and I think we've never come across them since, have we? So someone that exists outside of time. They're aware of Time Lords. Time Lords are aware of them. So it's interesting to see, you know, what are they actually all about? What are they for? One does wonder. Oh, is that... No, it's not. No, ball is on the line. That's okay. Now, the thing that really got me about this story was Turlough. God, he's a drip, isn't he? I mean, he really is. So wet. You could wring him out and use him as a dishcloth, couldn't you? He doesn't. He seems to change sides, flip and flap from side to side. He wants the guardian to save him, wants the doctor to save him. I mean, at the end of it, you know, when he's redeemed by the guardian, by the doctor, rather, when he actually does take the right choice at last. You know, it's... if I was Tegan, I'd sort of done something to him, he stabbed him in his sleep or something like that, and the doctor, you know, the hell are you doing trusting him? You know, he really... So obvious that he got his own agenda. It's... Anyway, Turlo, you really should have grown a pair. Talking about growing... Oh, it's a noble. Damn, he's not out. Oh, well, anyway. Talking about growing a pair, this, of course, is one where Janet Fielding certainly showed a lot of her talents. There's this scene where she's got the ball gown on and she goes running down the corridor. The doctor finishes his speech, turns around and finds off with, oh, and Tegan, put your boobs away. Apparently, she did have some problems with his dress and keeping her décolletage in tow. Now, Tegan, I thought, was very good. The way she worked with Linda Barron as Captain Rack, I think there was a good spark there as well. And she was the person who, she could sense something was wrong, and was, I think, in a way, the barometer of what was going on in the story. You looked at her reactions to what was going on. I think that, to me, showed where it was moving. And of course, we had the other Keith Barron as well, so I did wonder if the two captains got together, would that give you the Barron Knights? Can we have a bit of tish there, please? Might not be worth it. But, also, you got Mariner. Now, Mariner, I thought, was absolutely fascinating, because through him, you could actually understand what the Eternals were all about. You know, they have no substance, nothing to them mentally. So, what is it they're after? You can understand what his motive is. He needs something to make him live, to make him almost viable. And that's what he saw in Tegan. Now, when he came up to What Is Love, thank goodness that Lee... John didn't start singing those Hathaway saying What Is Love. But, not understanding human emotions, you know, he was terrified when Tegan actually shut his mind, her mind to him, and he couldn't follow her through. And that's why I think Janet Fielding did play that so well, that piece as well. But Mariner himself, I haven't got the wiki page open, so I can't remember who played Mariner. But again, he really was good. I thought that was a very good piece. Doctor, I don't know.
Christopher Brown.
He understood what was going on the ship, then he understood when it was in space as well. And he knew about the Eternals, so he seemed to understand what was going on, but it wasn't the best story for him. And we had the two guardians as well. Now we had, Valentine Dial, the man in black, for those who know the radio series. The scenery, but chewing it up and spitting it out. I mean, he really was overacting. I mean, it's a question with him and Linda Barron, who was the biggest overactor, the pair of them. Sean Luckham, though, I thought was quite good. He played it in a nicely understated way. And they've still left room for the guardians to come back, haven't they? So it's going to be interesting as well. Anyway, I haven't mentioned, of course, the most important thing. It's Jacob's Creek Chardonnay, by the way. So I'll just
have to reach it. I was
going to ask. First drink of the day, that is. Been rather busy today. But anyway, so looking forward to Megalos, which I don't think I've ever seen. I don't remember seeing it when it's first broadcast. I certainly haven't seen it since. So that's going to do some mining next week, and I'll watch that. And until then, be seeing you.
Yes, thank you. Any nanny.
Master?
Hang on.
Master?
Yes.
Valentine Dial, I posted this on Facebook, but I was aware of him as being in the Goon Show.
Oh yes.
First, that's the first time that I heard him, and I always liked him because of his over the top stuff in several episodes. He was in particularly the canal. Yeah. And I posted link to a where you can listen to the canal online on the Facebook page. But to me, it wasn't really overacting. It was just him. I just love the way he does that.
I didn't mind it, to be honest with you. But I did mind Linda Barron. There you go. I mean, he played it like that all the time. That's the way, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
I said nothing.
She went
She wants to do her song.
More feedback.
Yeah.
We'll do feedback first, honey.
How you doing there? Mary, Adam, Kirby and Debbie and all those lovely listeners out there in 20 megabyte land.
Well, all three of them.
Enlightenment by Barbara Clegg. You know, I like a good Peter Davison story, I really do. I enjoy his youthful, more quiet and reserved type quality, opposed to some of his sometimes over-eccentric counterparts. But in relation to this story, This was not, in my opinion, one of his better ones. In fact, I found it quite naff. A bit rubbish, actually. I remember at the time of this story's broadcast back in, I think it was 1983, thinking how boring and how uninteresting Doctor Who has become. Consequently, I didn't see this story until years later. In fact, it was yesterday, yeah. The plot was okay, especially with the parasitical element of the Eternals, needing the thoughts and ideas of the Ephemerals to maintain existence. But in all honesty, the story didn't particularly grab me like other Doctor Who stories have. I think the main reason for this is because Enlightenment, there wasn't much of a spectacle, was there, really? And when I say that, I mean, when I first started watching Doctor Who back in the middle of the Pertwee era, the Doctor encountered sea devils, he encountered Ogrons, Draconians,
Ogrons,
and yes, even Daleks, which I don't particularly enjoy.
Scone.
But anyway, I like a Doctor Who story with a good visual monster, alien, scare element. And yes, the Eternals were there, but they appear quite humanoid, not very frightening, and quite frankly, in my opinion, very boring. I like a good visual scare, and this story came up wanting in that aspect, in my opinion. I also found it very difficult to stay awake to through. I think I must have tried about three times to watch the thing in its entirety. A very difficult task. I think that's because also I found the story quite slow-moving as well. Okay. However, some very trivia good points about this story was, it was great to see Linda Barron as Warwick, I beg your pardon, Warwick, as Rack, who reminded me of some buxom, mad-crazed, delectable-looking dominatrix, to be honest. She really did, especially the first scene when it went up to, from her feet upwards. Oh, this is okay. This, I got to see her in a whole new different light, opposed to her role as Gladys Knight Emmanuel in Ronnie Barker's Open All Hours. There was quite a contrast there, to be honest. Another good point was, I enjoyed this, the aspect of the... Well, the aspects. I enjoyed seeing the Black Guardian go. I found his pantomimish type of performance slightly irritating and annoying. And not fitting to Doctor Who, although there's plenty of pantomimish stuff going on over the years. But I found his portrayal quite irritating. So good to see him go. But overall, apart from a good few trivia good points which I've mentioned, I found this story quite a bit of a letdown. Okay, that's it for my lot. Have a good day. Take care.
Thank you, Billy. Obviously, we're from the same page, me
yes,
and Billy.
Kirby?
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the few times where Billy and I have gone different directions.
Mm. This was one of those, I think, Marmite episodes again, wasn't it, really?
I suppose it could be, really, yeah. Sorry, Yeah, go on.
One thing we did not mention is that the Eternals have been mentioned even in recent times, particularly in Shakespeare Code.
Yeah.
The Carrionites were banished by the Eternals.
Yes.
Yeah. I think they've had a few other mentions recently as well.
And apparently there's mentions in some of the books, some of the expanded stuff, and who knows if Mary had been able to join us or if Matthew ever exists anymore, I'm sure they've been in Big Finish 28 times.
Probably. I'm sorry, I got slightly distracted because I was showing Debbie my pictures from Who Gone By. more feedback.
Oh, it's
sorry,
Patrick.
It's about a bit we have.
Hello, everyone at the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Wow. This is Patrick from North Hollywood.
In the toilet.
Return with my feedback. It's been a long time. It's been about 6 months, but, you know, life gets in the way sometimes. But, I'm back and I've been listening to all the shows and I'm enjoying them as usual.
He's back from the back game.
But decided to get back into the feedback game since we're coming up to the, Series 8 premiere.
He's using the Mac.
And, so this is my feedback for Enlightenment. This is only the fourth Peter Davison story I've seen, other than Caves of Eldrazi, Earthshock, and The Five Doctors. So this is the fourth one. And because I wasn't really familiar with Tegan and Turlough, I was really liking the story because I was kind of being introduced to those characters in a sense. As far as the story goes, I wasn't exactly sure why the Eternals needed the Ephemerals to man the ships. I mean, if you're going to go to the, I don't know, I didn't understand the point of setting the rules to use 18th century ships manned by 18th century crews, but in space. And I never quite understood why the crew had to put on the spacesuits and go up on deck. Maybe I should rewatch it and find out exactly what they were doing up there. But I did like the design of the spacesuits. I thought they were pretty cool. Yeah, the captain of the other ship, the female captain, she was a bit grating. I'm not sure if that was just her acting or direction, but she kind of got on my nerves. Yeah. She was sufficiently sinister, I guess. I found the Black Guardian really over the top, but I kind of liked it. And at the end, when Turlough ended his pact with the Black Guardian, by giving him eternity or enlightenment or, shoving the enlightenment towards him. So I wasn't really familiar with their pact. I mean, obviously through the story, you could see he was contacting him for advice. And I know Turlough is a character who is on the TARDIS initially to kill the Doctor. I do know that from Doctor Who lore, but I'm not really familiar with that storyline. So I'm going to definitely go back and see Turlough's first story and see how that all began. And overall, I really liked this. I liked the story. The plot was a bit murky, but like I said, because of my unfamiliarity with some of the characters, I liked getting into the characterizations of Tegan and Turlough. And Peter Davison was good. I've never seen him in a bad story yet, but like I said, I've only seen four. So on a side note, I know the Series 8 premiere is coming, and I saw online where they were going to be doing screenings in theaters. And so I just happened to click on the link, and voila, I found that there was actually tickets available at my local theater here in L.A., and I snapped up a ticket. And then after I bought it, I realized, the screenings is Monday, August the 25th, 2 days after I'm going to actually have seen the premiere on BBC America that previous Saturday. So I guess that's why there are so many tickets available, because it wasn't a simultaneous screening. I don't know why they're doing that. I'm sure in other countries and territories, I think they are screening in theaters the day that it premieres on BBC. But I'm not sure. I could be wrong. So I guess if I don't like the Series 8 premiere on BBC America, I won't bother going to the theater. But I probably will go either way, just to get the communal experience of watching it with other Doctor Who fans. I haven't done that yet. I missed the 50th anniversary screening in theaters because those tickets were gone in like seconds. As always, I enjoy the show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And until next week, have a good week.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you for coming back, Yay. Patrick. Wish a few others.
If he's been listening to all of our shows, did he miss episode 219?
Don't know. Why don't you ask him?
That was Modern Undead.
Oh. That's true. Yes, that's where Turlough came in, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, there you go, Patrick. Watch Mordred Undead. There you go.
All right, see how this works. Hang on.
Oh, is it Ian?
Yeah. Hi. Let's see if I can get this to work.
What is it? It's Ian's feedback.
Exterminate! Exterminate! Exterminate!
When you have to shoot, shoot. Don't talk.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian!
Enlightenment by Barbara Clegg. This is a strange story, very much a fantasy. I think the idea of bored immortals using humans for amusement goes back to the ancient Greeks. The same idea appeared in Star Trek with the Q Continuum. I don't think the solar winds would really propel the ships. Probably the Eternals' magic powers. They would need them to propel the rowing boat. The captain says they have an unbeatable lead when the Greek ship has been destroyed. Later we see the ships are all so close together that a rowing boat can move from one to another. That's it for the black and white Guardians. Also the end for the Will Turlough Kill the Doctor theme, which was getting tedious. We've heard from Linda Barron before, singing in the Hartnell era. It was an enjoyable story. There were echoes of this in Voyage of the Damned and Curse of the BS. Happy birthday, Jeff Waddle.
It's the OK Corral boys of gun-fighting fame, where the Herbs and the Clintons, they played out the game.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, everybody. If you want to send in feedback to the show, and this will stop them from... Hang on a second. They'll stop them from sending it in. It's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Yes, Kirby?
The rules for the race meant that the ships were powered by the solar winds. However, that doesn't mean that they couldn't use other sorts of propulsion to move between the ships. Oh. With the little launches, like rockets or whatever.
Oh, okay, thank you.
They very specifically say that they've got certain rules that they have to follow for the actual race.
There's going to be no questions indeed. Left at this, right?
Yes,
you know?
This is Sylvester McCoy, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And returning to a feature of the show that we haven't had on for quite a long time, it's a Isabella Sings feature, and here's Isabella singing. Oh, you're not ready?
Now?
Yes.
Yeah. Here's your lyrics.
You've been waiting for this.
Right, there's the microphone. And the listeners are now disappeared to make their tea.
The
sorry?
No, we said after
now. We're going to do
it now
as an interlude. Then we're going to do a thing called You Won't Get This One. But carry on. There's
go
a microphone.
On.
Come on.
Go for it.
This song is called Look How We Can Fly. Look at this, what's happening to us? We're gonna fly today. We can do it, don't be scared. It's alright. We're gonna fly. Look how high we can fly. Look how high we can fly. We're heading into the sky. Look, we can fly. Oh my gosh, look at this. This is amazing. Look how we can fly. Look how high we can fly. Look how we can fly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're at the bottom, but we can see it. Wave at us and look at us if you can. Look how high we can fly, yeah, yeah. Look, we're heading to the sky. Look how high we can fly.
Yay.
Please do not listen to this podcast if you are affected by any particular mental illness.
Isabella Pierce. Now, who wrote that song, Isabella?
I did.
Everybody just fainted at the other end of the podcast.
That's lovely. Thank you, darling.
Now it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Like a piece of paper.
I've got
oh,
a piece
quiz
of
mask.
Paper, thank you. Already organised.
Yay! I really like
right, it's between Adam and Kirby.
This is USA versus Great Britain. Unfortunately, my bets would be on USA for on this particular instance.
Okay, then.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, let's give
I'm
it
I've only seen... I think you
I didn't write any notes down.
You've probably seen it.
I'm not joining in.
I don't have that many notes on it.
Sit down and help me.
You've probably seen it more than I have. I've seen it twice.
Okay. Well, let's see. Right. Britain. Adam, what date did Enlightenment Part 1 first air in the UK?
What, the precise date? I have no blimmin' idea what precise
date. Yeah, how are we supposed to know that?
I can tell you what year, vaguely.
You'll get 1 point for the year.
Oh, 1 point for the year, right there. 1983.
Yes. It's the 1st of March, 1983.
Uh-huh. Right, thank you. Am I all right for a point on that one,
You're
Kirby?
All right for a point, yeah. Okay, Kirby.
Mistress?
What chess piece does Turlough move?
I don't know. One of them.
Well, Adam?
I'm prepared to have a guess. The knight.
Nope, oh. It's the bishop. No points there, darling. Adam, what happens if they keep it at full?
Keep what at full?
Power.
No, actually, I did actually make a note of that one, but I forgot in my mind what it was. No.
It's from the first episode. Kirby?
I don't know.
They will lose power completely.
Oh, right. Yes. Should have known that, shouldn't I?
No, my questions can be really evil or really easy. I'm sorry. Okay. Kirby.
Mistress?
Okay. What are the full coordinates the White Guardian gives the Doctor?
A bunch of numbers.
Did you write this one down?
I don't write anything down. I remember something about... I can't remember something okay. about...
I do better with stories I've seen more.
Okay. It's Galactic North, 6 degrees, 9077.
I probably could have vaguely got the Galactic North.
Okay, Adam.
I wish we had Mary. She probably would win this time.
Yeah.
What should Tegan do if the White Guardian tells her something important?
Whose question is this?
Adam, sorry.
Probably remember it or write it down or something like that. I don't know.
Nope, Kirby? What does the Doctor tell her to do?
Table.
I don't know.
Thank him politely.
Oh, good grief. Boy, we're doing great this week.
That's all right.
Put it on your lap if I were you, because you're walking on the table. There's a very sensitive piece of
paper. Trust me, there will be a couple of times, I'm sure, where you'll have an obscure question. It will be something that I just happen to notice.
Well, you might notice this one, because this one's for you.
Well, wait, for me?
Yes.
I thought it was for...
No, that was the last one, was for Adam.
Oh, okay.
And you had a second go at it.
Okay.
Right, Kirby. What is written on the chests in the hold?
Striker.
Yay! 2 points to Kirby.
Which confused me because I thought that was the name of the ship. I didn't realize it was the captain until later.
No. Okay. Adam? What does Jackson call the Doctor?
Oh, hang on. Something like slush.
Yes. It's slush. 2 points. Okay. Kirby, you probably get this one. This is yours. What is Turlough's first name?
I know.
Vizlor.
That's it.
I knew.
Kirby. Okay.
Do they actually say his first name in this?
No, but I just wrote it down as a question.
Okay, well.
You're going to get in a trouble.
Yeah,
then,
because
you know?
I'm trying to remember when they ever really said.
Okay.
No, this is
name.
It. This is why
okay.
I was using the wiki pages as
Doesn't
well
matter.
For information. And,
Doesn't matter.
Okay, all right, sorry. Adam, this is yours. What was the name of the ship that Collier tells Turlough crossed the Atlantic in 17 days?
Absolutely no idea.
Kirby?
Oh, that's right, the America.
That's right, yep.
Oh, in fact, I'd say.
2 points to Kirby.
You would remember that.
Yes, yep.
Although I'm not sure if the America was an American ship.
Don't think it was.
I don't think so. I think it was. Was it a British ship?
I don't know.
The America.
I think so. I could look it up.
No.
This one is for Kirby.
Mistress?
Why can't a pig become a sailor?
You can't look aloft.
That's right.
Which
I
remember reading that when I was before I saw this when I was just doing like Wikipedia research and stuff, and I'm going, huh?
Yeah. So like one reason why it got put in because I was like, why?
Yeah.
Okay, Adam.
Mm.
What does Turlough build a tower out of?
I know.
Nice. Stop knocking the tower. Oh, it's not her. I'll let you off to you. Tower out of... I can't can't remember. I remember it happening. I remember looking at it, but it didn't actually stay in my mind. Go on then, Kirby.
Dominoes.
That's right. 1 point for Kirby.
No, I wouldn't remember that.
Kirby.
Mistress?
What does the officer tell Turlo they observe?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay.
The spirit as well as the rules of the race.
Huh. Oh, okay.
And this is probably quite an easy one.
I hope so, because I need some.
Yeah, go for it.
In last place with 3 points is my dad. And in first place with
nine
points is Kirby.
Ta-da!
Travesty.
Okay. Adam, who wrote Enlightenment?
Barbara Clegg?
Yep.
I don't know how I remembered that.
Oh, I would have remembered that one too.
It's on the screen. Yes, really, yes.
No, thank you, Ian Kirk. I didn't know. I did say it before. I noticed it on the screen.
Just looked up and it's on Ian Kirk's written feedback.
I don't have that on the screen.
No, I did remember it before I looked on there, so I'm quite pleased with myself for actually remembering that.
Okay, Kirby.
I remember one of the things I liked about this was that it was directed by a woman and written by a woman.
Ah, that's rare, isn't it?
And didn't she do the book adaptation as well, didn't she?
Is this Kirby?
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Kirby's okay. Next, isn't it?
This is Kirby's, yes. Right. Sorry, just... were we diverting? What is the first marker boy?
Venus.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I would have got that one.
I was thinking it was Mercury, but no, it was Venus. Definitely. But I noted earlier that they said it was Venus and it was obviously Mars.
Like Mars, yes, yeah. Okay, Adam.
Yes.
What does the doctor date as being Spanish, late 17th century?
Something up in the...
I know.
I can't remember now, but I something Kirby? Up in the bridge, ahead, wasn't
Kirby.
It?
Okay, Kirby.
It was the jewel that the guy, the captain of the galley, had.
Critus the Greek. Yeah. 1 point for Kirby. Cool. Yep, it was a jewel on his finger.
Kirby, now this one's for you.
Well, he'll know this one. Who is the photo, this is for Kirby, who is the photo on Tegan's bedside table of?
Aunt Vanessa.
There you go. Two to Kirby.
Well, why am I echoing? Suddenly I echo.
Hello.
No, not TBA.
Sorry. Right, Adam.
Yep.
Where does Stryker function?
I don't know.
The endless wastes.
Hang on, you Kirby. Sorry. Kirby missed out. Kirby could have had. He got loads of points anyway. Doesn't matter.
The endless wastes of something. I don't know.
Oh, he doesn't know anyway. He got away with that one.
Sorry. I have to add another one.
No, you won't. You got it wrong.
It's the endless wastes of eternity.
Yeah.
Apparently is where he functions. Right, Kirby, this is for you.
Mistress.
What does Jackson want Turlo to do with the grog?
Throw it overboard.
That's right. Okay, Adam?
Yes, I'm losing the will to live with you.
What does sabotage do?
Don't know.
Kirby?
I don't understand the context of the question. I mean, what is sabotage?
What does sabotage do according to one of the characters in the race?
I know.
Dad.
Oh, let him have it.
Go on, go.
Improve their chances to win.
Spoils the fun.
Oh. I don't know.
Right, Kirby.
Mistress?
How does the doc... Hang on. Was that was Kirby's question, wasn't it? No?
Yeah,
was
you've
it?
Confused yourself, haven't you? No, you put yourself in my
department.
This is Kirby's
question, yes. That's this Kirby. Is Kirby's. How does the doctor describe living minds?
Describe living minds? I don't know.
It's when he's talking to Stryker about how they see ephemerals.
I don't know. Every time someone said Stryker, I was always imagining the character in Airplane. Stryker, Stryker, Stryker! I don't know.
Yeah.
Drink problem. Okay, there's only a few left. Okay, Adam, do you know what?
No, I do not.
It was contaminated with crude emotions, organic, irrational, creative, entertaining.
No, there you go.
Adam. Give it to Matthew. He would have known it.
The audience. Yeah. Adam, yes. How was the ship made?
By the minds of the sailors.
Yes.
Yay.
Hang on, therefore, that's definitely worth a...
Kirby.
Mistress.
What is resistance?
Useless.
No.
Daddy.
I don't
know. Futile.
Yes.
Hey.
1 point for Adam.
That's she's Kirby's. Giving you points. How many points are you giving Kirby when they should be high?
I was on the right track. But
that's
used
crossed
the...
out. Okay. That point's crossed out. Sorry.
Good.
Okay. Who was it now?
I don't know.
It's Dad.
All right. Okay. Adam.
Yes.
What are Moonrakers?
James Bond films.
I think I know.
I don't know.
Kirby?
They're a special type of sail. I believe they're the top ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
That are give you a little extra speed.
That's right. They're small square sail set above a sky sail on a sailing ship for extra speed.
It's also a James Bond movie.
Oh, yes, definitely. Right. Kirby.
Oh, no. The song is going through my head. No!
Right, this is the last Riker. This is the last one. And it's then there'll be a free-for-all. Kirby, where is the ion chamber according to Mariner?
At the bottom.
He was a bit more specific.
All the way down.
I will give him that. It was down as far as you can go.
Okay.
Okay, and this is...
Free-for-all.
The free-for-all.
Okay.
I'm just choosing
right.
one.
Ready.
Got a few to go through.
Okay.
There we go. Free-for-all.
Go.
What is enlightenment?
The choice.
Yay.
Daddy.
Okay, and what are the final scores?
7.
There you go.
In last place with 10 points is Dad. And in first place with 19 points is Kirby.
I'm surprised.
Well done. I'm particularly nasty with questions. I don't mean to be.
It should be very interesting next week because I've not seen Megloss.
Oh.
Oh.
That was abrupt.
And one thing that I'm curious about is I noticed on the top 200 or whatever the numbers are, Megloss is close to the bottom.
It is, yeah.
Is it really that bad?
I don't know. I can't remember watching it. So
do you know what? No. We forgot to do this. Never mind, I'll have to insert it later. Right.
I don't know if anyone noticed, but I got the Doctor Who magazine that's got the new list.
I saw that, yeah.
When I was over the weekend when I attended a Barnes & Noble Doctor Who celebration, which was a lot of fun.
It looked it. I wish I'd do something like that on the island. Maybe we should do one on the island. You haven't let your country down, don't worry.
If I'd known it was going to be a minor.
Yeah, why don't you organize something? One of the things that really surprised me is I'm sitting there, there were maybe 10, 15 people, and this older gentleman with a British accent was sitting there and seemed to know a lot about Doctor Who. And there was another podcast there, the Earth Station Who podcast, where doing a short episode, and they were talking to him, talking and calling him Lewis, and they knew him. And turns out that he was a film editor at the BBC and did writing for the BBC. Now he's a singer-songwriter who lives here in the Atlanta area, Lewis Robinson.
Yeah, and you got a picture with him, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes.
And he's willing to be interviewed by us, and I can get you his contact information.
That would be brilliant.
But his is really great. Apparently, he's been a guest at TimeGate, the Atlanta convention, and I've only been to one TimeGate, so I never was able to meet him. And there have been 10 TimeGates, and that's... Okay. I might go to TimeGate this next year. The problem is I've got to decide TimeGate or Conquistorbris, and I can't do both.
Oh, sorry. Oh, you guys all right? Everything went a bit weird then.
No, sorry, I just caught my hand on my cable.
Which do you think you do?
Oh, sorry, you're still talking. Do apologize.
Excuse me?
Which one do you think you'd prefer?
It's going to depend on the guest of honor at TimeGate.
Yeah.
I no one shoot me, but I'm not all that excited about Paul McGann. I'm definitely not excited for Eric Roberts.
No.
Kirby, you know you said no one shoots you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ouch.
Ouch. Okay, it's time for news. James Corden is going to replace Craig Ferguson on The Late Late Show.
Well.
Resounding load of silence from that. the Doctor Who pop-up shop in Sydney has popped up, I would imagine. Looks really good, actually, if you happen to be in Sydney, and there's loads of really good Doctor Who.
It's all the new stuff that's due to be released, like the Mark.
Doctor Who giant Dalek lands in Snugbury, Cheshire, which is like a straw Dalek. That's really impressive. It's massive, isn't it? Look at the people
in the
picture. It's very much a visual thing. There's no point in playing.
I think we need to pop that picture onto the
Ben Shoveler has obviously got Reese Parton's Book of Excuses. And hang on, let me finish. His book is a reason for not appearing on the show today is... No, mate, we're going to Disney World today. So that's probably one of the best excuses for not coming on the show. And I bet even though Reese wrote that excuse, he actually hasn't actually really used it yet. Yes, Kirby.
Seriously, he's over here, or is he talking about the France one?
No, France is called Disneyland.
I know.
The one in America is called Disney World.
So
he's stateside, is he then, at the moment?
Yes, he's in some big country.
Ooh, that
coffee
big one over there.
Yeah.
5 minutes away, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, the way that I just casually drive...
Drive over
100 miles in one
day. Well, apparently you can just nip over to Disney World and better see Ben and his family.
I wish I could just nip over to... Anyway, going back to two news items ago, James Corden, over the weekend, I saw... along with Julia, the geek daughter, and Mary, my youngest, we went to Guardians of the Galaxy. And in the previews, in the trailers at the beginning, they had a preview for Into the Woods, which had James Corden very prominently in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which he came up on the screen. I went, hey, it's Craig!
All right, moving on. I quite like that.
Stay on your headphones.
Yes, she's fidgeting so much the headphones keep falling off her head. Yeah, that's a very impressive. That straw Dalek, it, proportionately and everything, bearing in mind how big it is very, very well made. So if you're going to Snugbury's famous ice cream farm, which is in Cheshire, I'd go and get your picture taken with that massive Dalek.
Do you think they'll burn it?
So, well, I expect. Where is this?
Is there a picture of someplace?
Yeah,
it's on DoctorWhoNews.net.
It's on the news.net, but I think I'm going to find one and put it on the Facebook page.
Oh, I've just been told by Debbie I've got to find one.
I'm doing it right now.
Oh, you're going to do it, are you? Right, Deep Breath is in Denmark cinemas on the 23rd of August. So if you're in Denmark, then... Oh, I don't think I've very
much Oh, wow,
debt.
That is cool.
I very yeah, much is cool, yeah.
Straw Dalek.
About the Denmark cinemas. It's like that viaduct. game. Do you remember the Viaduct game you used to have on Radio 1 where you'd ask a question and you ask the next question, you've got to answer the previous question. Yes. I think we should adopt that for you won't get this one. As I say, deep breath, cinemas in Denmark. Right, the Symphonic Spectacular is returning to Australasia.
What?
So, Australasia. That means the New Zealand, Australia... And what's the other little place? Tasmania.
Yeah.
So it's so Adelaide on the 24th of January. Perth Arena on the 31st of January. Qantas Credit Union Arena in Sydney on the 7th of February. And on the 14th of February, Auckland Vector. It seems like Auckland's in New Zealand, isn't it? So it's the other rest of them in Australia. Yes.
Didn't Robert say that, is it Robert or Billy? One of them said that it's actually coming close to them.
Good, well they can go and see it then.
And they'll be able to go.
Hmm. Probably only about 5 minutes away, obviously. Planet 55 statement regarding Doctor Who animations. Animation studio Planet 55 have issued the following statement regarding their involvement with creating animated episodes of Doctor Who. There have been many queries about Planet 55 Studios' work on Doctor Who and whether they are doing any more. To date, Planet 55 Studios have completed work on 3 Doctor Who animated reconstructions for BBC Worldwide DVD range, Reign of Terror, 10th Planet, and most recently Moonbase. I don't know. Did I see Moonbase? I can't remember now. I think I have.
I haven't.
We really enjoyed creating those, but they are the only Doctor Who stories Planet 55 Studios have worked on, and there are no plans to work on it anymore. It's a bit of a shame, isn't it? What else have we got here? Doctor Who World Tour begins.
Master. That tells me that they found some of the stories were originally going to be animated.
Okay, if you say so. Believe it when I see it. Doctor Who World Tour begins in Cardiff and London. Lucky buggers who are able to meet all the incumbents. And that
you should have gone.
I can't afford it. Mind you, could get a ticket. And I was working. I've got work. I am working.
All you have to do is just jump over the...
just
2 weeks time, I'll be filming a wedding. I will not be watching Doctor Who.
Oh, I'm going to still do it. I'm going away on holiday. I'm going to make my dad sit down and watch it with me.
I'll watch it when I get back. Not so that's what probably me and Deb will come back. Wind down by watching Doctor Who, and I'll delete it. Thank you, dear. Then I'll delete it so Alicia can't see it, because apparently she hates Doctor Who with a passion. Mm-hmm.
Really?
We've got on the feedback on 20 Megabyte, Mike Sapinski.
Sounds a very familiar name.
From convention, some friends of his are running this coming March outside of Baltimore in the USA.
Sorry, boring you.
And he thinks the listeners would be very interested. It's Regeneration Who, and I've liked the page, so hopefully there'll be a bit more info
coming.
No, it's not in Britain, it's in America.
I won't be able to go to that one.
No, we can follow
too
it.
Too far away for me.
Yes. I'm sure it's not just 5 minutes away. I've got 10 minutes away for you, is it? All right. More tickets available for the free to attend Series 8 launch party. There are more tickets at Series 8 launch party celebration. That is free to attend up for grabs. The 12th night party is being held in London on the 23rd of August, starting at 3 p.m. with Deep Throat, Omni and Beth, and accompanying Doctor Who program broadcast that afternoon and evening being shown live on big screens.
Mm.
You stop making silly noises, please, Isabella.
That's interesting. Send emails for tickets to an AOL.com address. Mm. AOL still exists?
It's very rare.
By the way, they've released the synopsis for Deep Throat, I Mean Breath, and I'm not going to read it.
Careful.
I keep catching myself in this table. It's short, you see. Isabella's got my headphones on. There's a live streaming of the BBC World Tour, which I'm not going to click on. World Tour New York tickets go on sale on the 11th of August, which is today, funny enough.
That's not a hop, skip, and a jump either.
No.
Sorry.
So that's 20 minutes away then.
I've been to New York many times, but I can't get there.
Jenna Coleman takes the social media to Doctor Who World Tour. She took a picture with a phone of the TARDIS and a little boy driving a little car. Is that correct, Deb?
Yes.
Foreign subtitled version of the
Latin
trailer.
America.
I expect if I play that, it'll be in English. I'm not going to bother. Oh, what's this? I'll play this one because it's probably got audio on it. It's 2 minutes 48 long. It's Peter Capaldi and Jenna Coleman love their Korean... Something other.
Love their Korean.
So yes, that's the news. There's something that you lot. I was going to tell Mary
off as
well.
Love their Korean fans.
Did we forget to say hello to people last week?
Well, no, I was going to tell you lot off and Mary for not reminding me to welcome new members to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. What have you got to say for yourselves? You're supposed to be my backup. Do I really have to stick post-it notes around the edge of my monitor to remember all the stuff we're supposed to do?
Not my fault.
Yes, it is. You should have reminded me. Right then, so let's see if we can... Who was our last welcome? Do you remember?
No.
You don't? Okay, so I remember... Oops. No, I don't. Who are they, all these people? Get your finger out of the way, I can't
think. Sorry. Did we say
A month ago, hang on, 3 weeks ago. Aziz Cyber Leader, I did him. Yep. Joseph Atkinson, about 2 weeks ago. That's probably one of them,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, probably. Yes.
Welcome, Joseph Atkinson.
Joseph Atkinson.
I'll tell you what we'll do. Get Isabella to say. He'll probably do a much better job than me. What does that say?
Joseph Atkinson.
What's that say?
Who's that one? Nath Cote, or Nath Cote?
Nath.
Who's this?
Tom Melrose.
That's my other half. Yep.
Who's this?
Gregory Bennis.
Yes, that's probably about right. And?
D.I. Harris.
Di, you just got promoted.
D.I. Detective Inspector Harris. Yes, it's Di Harris.
It took me a minute to figure out the joke. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
so welcome, one and all.
Yeah, Detective Inspector.
Yes, a die.
It's
Di. Welcome, one and all, to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join and add yourself to the 376 members, of which only about 1% actually listen to the show.
someone must listen.
Well, we had 4 listeners last week. There's 4 bits of feedback that came in. I don't even know if Robert still listens to the show, actually. Shall we slag him off? Just see if he...
I'm only joking.
I'll talk about the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. We've got some things posted quite recently on it, which are certainly worth looking at, aren't they, Debbie?
Yes.
Debbie's posted this Draw Dalek. Ian's posted some stuff about people to welcome. Damn, missed it. There's a podcasting selfie of us eating biscuits, and I think I might update that and bring the dogs into the picture, simply because I don't know if people really believe these dogs actually exist, even though they bark a lot in the background. And there's Isabella's video of her Doctor Who art. No.
Play again. It doesn't play that long.
I'm not so playing it again.
33 seconds.
Right, what have I forgotten so far this week?
Sponsors,
there we go, that's what you're supposed to do. Reminding me the stuff I'm supposed to do. Right, Mary, who are our sponsors? No, she's
who
not.
Who won that cola?
Who won .co.uk? I can't even say it wrong.
Who won .co.uk?
No. Is that whowon.co.uk?
No, no. Mary will say whowon.com.co.uk.
Whowon.co.uk.
Whowon.co.uk. Right.
She's got a lovely voice.
I'm surprised. Got,
what do you think I hired her for? She's a podcasting natural. We should go back in time and listen to some of Mary's original feedback, which, if you think about, you're looking at Patrick's just a minute ago with all that echoiness in the background. That's what Mary's first bits of feedback were like, because she hadn't worked out in GarageBand how to turn off reverb. Yes, you can go no effects.
Yeah, I remember when she used to send in written feedback, and then she'd figure out how to record.
Yep. And now she's... got a voice of an angel, hasn't she, Isabella?
Angel.
No, Mary.
Oh, yeah.
All right, yes, we've got Dalek Patrol Ship and Pilot. It's currently available on 21.co.uk, along with the Doctor Who magazine 476 and the 50th anniversary coasters, which are actually very good. I like those. $29.99 for a full set of coasters with sort of profile shots of most of the
Doctors. I thought
roller
coasters were way more than 50 years old.
Hang on.
We should do one specially for Kirby.
Hang on. Takes me a bit of time to find
Doctor
it.
Doctor Who there we go. On roller coasters.
Takes a bit of time for it to play because it's an MP3. Why is it not playing, Isabella?
I don't know.
No idea. so what else have we got on here? Coming soon. About Time 1, About Time 4, About Time 5, Blood Cell, Crawling Terror. These are all books.
It's about time.
And a Dalek Mr. Potato Head.
I do like that.
That's going to be $14.99, and it's not available yet, though, but these are things coming up along with Mask of Tragedy.
Isn't there there are other Doctor Who Mr. Potato Heads, aren't there?
Yeah, there's a Cyberman one, isn't there?
And there's an 11th Doctor, isn't there?
Oh, is there?
Yes. I didn't know
about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mask of Tragedy.
Yeah, because
someone
had one at Barnes & Noble on Saturday.
Ah, there you go.
They bought it. They bought it at Barnes & Noble.
Mask of choking on my niece biscuit. Trouble with coconut, so I'll get stuck in the track. Mask of Tragedy, which is a Big Finish CD, as is. Revenge of the Swarm.
I thought it was Mask of Mandragora.
And Be Quiet, and Signs and Wonders. They're all seventh Doctor stories coming soon to whowon.co.uk. Who Isabella, who are our other sponsors? The clue is I'm typing it into the address thing. I'm typing it in wrong.
Lavazzi.co.uk.
Yes, who sell things like the Series 18 scarf, the standard Fourth Doctor scarf, Dalek scarf, which Debbie still hasn't got yet, the Seventh Doctor scarf, and the Seventh Doctor jumper that I really, really want to have.
I will post a selfie as soon as I've got one.
Yep. Plus, non-Doctor Who related stuff, and lovely. Look at that Union Jack one. That's a really good one, isn't it? Oh. Union Jack scarf there. And what? I'm talking about stuff on Lavazzi. Yes.
Well, I want to talk about scarves for a minute. I actually had someone online complain about my scarf colors for the first time, and he should have known better because he's also a longtime fan like I am. Mm. So I got my scarf in 1980 when we didn't care about the scarf colors, and he's complaining that it had teal is one of the colors.
It's funny you should say that. If you look at it was Lewis
Bailey of the Hack.
He accidentally phoned me the other day. I didn't answer. But yeah, the scarf that Osgood is wearing in Day of the Doctor isn't accurate either. That's probably
but it's official.
Yeah, I suppose I should really release that as some sort of memorabilia, shouldn't I? Mm. Right. What have I forgotten and not done now that I should really stick post-it notes around my back for? I'm sure. Not sure, but fairly sure.
Well, you were talking about other things on the Facebook page.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah. Well, you didn't keep going. You didn't.
Oh, you want me to keep going? Do you? Episode 2 leaked.
Theoretically, however,
it wasn't mentioned on the news page, was it? So that's interesting in itself.
Well, the thing is that I know someone who did look, and it's not out there.
Good.
And they know how to look for this stuff, and it is there are fakes out there. In fact, Ian Kirk, who's not the person who I'm talking about, said that he saw someone had supposedly put it on a torrent site, but it was Brain of Evil instead.
Oh, right, okay. Somebody called Kirby Bartley Sloan has posted a picture of a magnet on his car, which I was just alluding to the fact that if that was in this country, we'd probably end up getting stolen. if it was a sticker on the inside of the windscreen, it's got more chances of staying put.
Except it's a magnet. It won't stick to...
Yeah, but you can pull it off if it's a magnet. That's what I'm trying to say. If it was a window sticker, you can't get into the car unless you break into it to get the window sticker off, can you?
Actually, I now have a sticker on every car, and I was going to transfer my Whovian. I know you don't like the term Whovian, but I don't mind it. I have a Whovian magnet on our Accord, and I was going to move it over to this car because I'm going to be driving the PT Cruiser more than the Accord. Now, the PT Cruiser has been fixed after not working for 6 months, and I tried to peel it off of the Accord, and it wouldn't come off. It's kind of stuck somehow, like almost glue, even though it's a magnet. Ooh. It's very strange. Mm. So that's why I had to get another.
It must remain.
Magnet. So there's a Whovian on the Accord. My other ride is a TARDIS on the PT Cruiser, and Julia, the Geek Daughter's car, has another TARDIS. A different TARDIS one.
Well, it's a great picture of you in Barnes & Noble wearing a fantastic T-shirt, which Debbie wants.
I want one, yeah.
I've got to get a new one anyway, and I've got to put in an order for a new mug because somebody at work broke it because nobody's owning up to it, but the mug doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, look, it's my
report.
And I'm almost thinking that we could use that copy of, that's a shrink-wrapped copy of Pyramids of Mars. We might use that as a prize since I already have Pyramids of Mars.
I'm sure there was something else. Oh, yes. Debbie, what else was there? Padding.
Nothing else that I'm aware of.
What have we got next week?
Megloss.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Then it's the new...
That's the end of the podcast?
No, that's it for
Doctor Who for 12 weeks.
Yeah, because we got the new series. Very exciting. And hopefully we'll get some good, lots of good feedback from that as well.
Is that good enough?
No. Yeah, we know. I like the fact we got four bits of feedback this week. I don't think that's going to happen for a long, long time.
Oh, no, it'd be good. A bit more feedback. Oh, yeah. We'll read out any written.
Did you notice I posted a picture of Fred hiding her face in Barnes & Noble? Yeah.
With her fantastic poster.
Well, she's holding up the Doctor Who magazine that's got the top, the what used to be the top 200, top two, whatever it is. And then the Entertainment Weekly with Peter Capaldi on the cover.
Cordial. Adam, what are you up to?
Write a script for Isabella.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh.
I'm ready?
I'm spelling it wrong.
Do I have to say this now?
No, I bet you're not going to get it right first time.
You spelled intended wrong.
Oh, I'm trying to talk and write at the same time.
Oh, I see the picture you were thinking of.
Yes,
that was Julia, the geek daughter. She doesn't mind her picture online. But Fred, whose real name is not Fred.
Yes. We know that. It's Julia.
No.
It's Mary.
No.
Don't stop guessing.
It's Louisa.
Yes.
Shush.
I've got every name, every female name going.
Right.
He didn't have to say yes. He just said no to all three. He's the one that gave the game away. Then. Yeah, right then. Okay, so really, that's it. When are we recording, by the way? I'm not sure.
Mary's asked for Sunday.
Okay, well, I'll try Sunday. If I'm not busy doing stuff on Sunday, it'll be Sunday. If not, it'll be Monday again. But at the moment, we'll say Sunday at the moment.
Yes, yeah, Sunday will work for me.
Cool.
Both of them will work.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Until next week, we'll have to do a live finishy thing because Isabella is standing on stage as we speak. So, this is going to be very interesting. I've never done this before. Where is it now? I'm trying to find a theme tune. Yeah, here we go. So, until next week, thank you for listening to the show. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Say goodbye if you like, Isabella. Watch around if you like.
One day there'll be.
You won't play at all.
One day.
Actually. It's going to cut off in a minute. It only plays a certain bit. Oh, no, it's still playing. Because you're trying to fucking time, you know? Not right next to the microphone.
Hanging on to the end of this is
going
to be hoping for something special.
Not yet. Hello, magic. Oh, you've got to do that for selfie in a minute. You've got to write some words for this.
What?
You can
write a tune about Dr. Jesus.
Right, stand by, Isabella.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC, no copyright infringement intended.
Magic!
Git! I miss Isabella going, I got it right, or whatever it was she used to say.
Oh, I might have that one somewhere.
You did it!
Anyway, I've got to run, so.
No. I don't give a toss about your stupid bloody podcast.
That's what she was like last Sunday, funny enough. Right, yes.
I'll see you later then. Bye. Take care, Kirby.
Oh, please don't do the one that when I said that.
I don't know, there's loads of them.
Yes, do it.
Oh, good grief.
No. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Doctor Who is
no,
a...
not that one. This one?
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
No, it's not that one.
Oh,
no, I know, it's this one. Let's try this bit.
Thank you.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an ABPV production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement.
Dad.
I did it!
Yay!
Ow, he's trying to be... Right, I'm trying to get the dog up for a selfie. Bye, Kirby! Bye. Oh, he's gone.
Are you?
Fed up waiting.
Yeah.
Right, then. Oh, wait! Where's Star?
She's down here.
Oh, grab
her.
Yeah, sorry, I'll just stop a minute. I'll edit that at the end of it out. I just want to find
it.
Oh,
no!
Oh.
Don't clonk the dog on the head with the headphones.
Dad, that was your fault because you were stepping on the wire.
Oh, well, it's my fault. That's usually my fault in this art.
Sit down, we're
going to
do something.
Sit down. Isabella, sit down.
Star, right. Come here.
Star.
Sit down, Magic.
She's under there. Come on, Star. Oh, how do you pick her up?
Just grab her by the shoulders. There we go. She's got a toy in her mouth. Right, here we go. Right, so 3, 2, 1. Here we go. And...